sa pinaubaw.
Great. Great job, everybody. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Digiverse Divecast, the only Digimon podcast where half of the hosts were almost late because we were watching wrestling.
Brian Danielson's world champions.
Let's go! Woo! I personally would have, I think I would have, like, Strickland to keep the belt, but whatever, it's fine.
He ain't got much time left. Surf can win it back later.
Ah, fine. This podcast is hosted by me, Lot, who did not think of anything to, like, oh, I'm tired.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's it. Are the rest of you gonna introduce yourselves, or?
Yeah, let me go last.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I'm Neon. I've never seen the movie before, so that'll be fun.
Oh, that's right, you hadn't.
Yeah.
I'm Bridget. I'm really fucking tired. I got nothing, dude. Leave me alone.
Oh.
I'm Momo, and on all turns, the wind digivolving effects of on level 7 Digimon don't activate.
God damn it.
All right. So, this week, we covered Revenge of Diaboromon or Diablomon Strikes Back, whichever you prefer, because I honestly think they're both pretty damn good titles. And it was the 30-minute long epilogue movie, kind of, to Adventure 02.
Yeah.
Takes place a couple months after the show ended.
I assume this is another one of those Toei Film Festival things.
Yeah, it'd only being half an hour long, I assume it was one of those summer film things. So, we're not really going to have much to talk about in the movie itself, because not a whole lot, like, really happens in the movie.
It's just cool.
Yeah.
It's, like, cool. It's still in the style of the previous three, but feels like it has comparatively, like, so much less going on, even compared to, like, the 20-minute short film.
Mm-hmm. But, goddamn, are some of the sequences in this movie fucking pretty.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's, like, still the same character designer and, like, animation director as,
Yes.
Hurricane Touchdown. They just went a lot less... weird with the visuals. It's a lot more traditionally just good looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the style, less out there sequences, but like at least like visually, it looks a lot more like Hurricane Touchdown than the other one too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because this one, I assume is like that direct. It's very definitely not Mamoru Hosoda. This one,
no, it's like all the lines are a lot looser. Like characters like all look very wobbly all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You can also kind of tell by like it's still using the same color palette, but it's like the internet sequences in this one are a lot less like bright and like saturated. Yes. The way they looked in our war game,
it's clearly not the same like theme.
Yeah, they do not have the red line work or anything like that. So,
I will say like I think we can start on someone like that because like fucking it's basically the start of the movie. I felt like that kind of made the visual callback to our war game a little weak, because it's like, and this is not like a huge complaint, like I'm not grousing over this too bad or anything. It was just like I get what you're going for here, but just like you're kind of missing too much of the style for it to really hit me. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I get it.
I think the most like, oh, that's kind of weird, is like whenever they use Kuromons and they're just 3D.
The 3D specific, so like it's this really funny thing. The 3D when they're like out of the screens looks like fine enough for the 2000s, but specifically the little sequence when they like try to like get out of the computer screens, and that 3D looks really funnily bad.
Yeah, it is like jarring how different the 3D of them like popping out looks.
Like I think it's animated fine, but like it does not blend at all.
They made no effort to blend it.
It's very funny looking, but yeah, when they're just kind of floating around, that's 3D Kuromons. At some points I was like, oh shit, this is 3D, huh? Like I didn't even notice until like there was like one particular one where the shading was
again
weird.
I think even the blending is like a little better when they're floating around. It is just specifically the shots where they're like going out of the computer screens that look off.
very funny. But yeah, so basically the movie starts off with just, it's at first it's completely silent, which is really off-putting. With just like...
They're still fucking playing Bolero in these fucking movies, dude. God damn it.
The Bolero slowly starts to kick in.
And it just cuts to like everyone just get going about their day.
Mm-hmm. And then Kuramon starts showing up from, you know, emails and stuff. Also, in all of these emails are include embarrassing photos of all of the original, well, not even all the original Digidestined.
This is like specifically, the main three.
Taichi and Yamato.
Yeah, no,
it specifically has a vendetta against Taichi and Yamato, actually. They're like, oh, they, those fuck-ass fucking kids got me last time. Fuck them. I hate them.
Sora just happens to be included in Yamato's photo.
Yeah.
Very funny that, like, Yamato's photo is this kind of cool photo of him walking with Sora, and Taichi's photo is him having wet the bed when he was, like, 3 years old.
You know what, all things considered, considering the fact that Matt's supposed to be, like, Yamato's meant to be, like, a rock star during this, his one might actually be more damaging long-term.
The domestic photo of him and his wife.
Yeah.
God.
On that fucking, like... It's like that one story of like an AKB idol being like caught having a boyfriend and then like her entire career got ruined.
Yeah.
Although that's obviously not always an idol thing, but like fucking any celebrity, you find out they're dating someone, it's like, oh, that's big news, big scandal. Yeah,
of course. Oh god. So we're just kind of like going through like each of the characters and what they're up to right now. Joe is in the middle of because like essentially. Kosuro notices that all the Kuramon are being, you know, brought to the real world and all this shit, so he gathers everyone up, except the people who can't make it, which are specifically Sora, because she was at a fucking tennis camp the whole
Remember when she played soccer?
Yeah, remember when she played soccer? But she's been at tennis camp, so she's on her way back. Joe is busy trying to get the results from his high school entrance exams.
Like, the Kuramon are already, like, fucking with machines, because, like, yeah. Sora can't get her, like, Sora's train isn't showing up, and, like, and they're telling Joe he's got a failing grade or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mimi is currently on a plane, and she is, of course, listening to fucking Bolero, and I was like, come on.
And getting mad because the fucking American flight doesn't have not been NATO.
Insane. God, she's such a bitch. It's awesome. Ugh. So yeah, and then once the people who are actually able to show up are there, Kosuro explains the whole, like, oh yeah, there was, you know, Diaboromon. It was this whole thing. Takaru casually mentions that he tried to launch nukes at Japan, and everyone just kind of moves past that point without talking about it. Like,
just the Ken, who I think has not said a single word in the movie by that point, just, like, looks. Stares at him when he says that.
Yeah, Ken's very silent throughout this movie. It's like,
well, but like the first bit,
he speaks a little more later. But how prominent he has surprisingly little lines. Yeah,
yeah. I feel like in general, this movie was like really like
light on the script.
Yeah, like the actual dialogue, there's very little of it. It's like really just what they need when they need it. It's kind of weird.
Again, it's a very to the point movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, the machines are, you know, fucking, or the Kuramon rather are fucking with all the machines. Pricing is getting weird. Like this woman picks up a thing of meat and
it's named Taichi.
Oh, the first one is named Yamato and it costs 980 yen. The second one is named Taichi and it costs 380 yen.
This implies to me that, like, while he hates both of them, he hates Taichi significantly more than Yamato.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. And, like, that and the fucking fact that he used a photo of Taichi when he was a baby having wet the bed is just like, he really hates this fucking kid.
There's a bit in, like, when Kosuro was explaining everything, and, like, I think Daisuke goes, who's that? And then Taichi just very bad.
That's me.
Oh man, I'm sorry about that.
Oh jeez.
Oh jeez.
Gee willikers.
I will also say you can tell that this movie has like just sort of an excuse plot because like literally like Kosher's like Diablomon came back. He just did.
Yeah.
And they like They don't go further than that. It's just, yeah, Diablo months back. That's it. I don't know, man.
They say some shit like he probably scattered his data when he got killed, but that's about it.
It's like one shred of data survived and it multiplied, and they're just like, that's it, the twice back, we're moving.
It's like, sure, good enough, I guess. Let's go.
So at this point, all the kids kind of spread out. Taichi and Yamato go to the internet because they're just like, oh, well, you know, fucking Omegamon killed him last time. Let's just do it again. And Daisuke is immediately just like, no, we're going to go with you. And Taichi's like, no, the babies can stay here and take care of the other babies.
There's this, like, if I were to describe at all what the main theme of this movie is, like, at least trying to be, it's like sort of like, I guess, like, especially with the stuff at the end, it's like moving on to the next generation or some shit passing of the torch, which is like fine, like it doesn't not work, but it's just like we're at like the end of 02. This was like the thing for the start of this thing.
Like, actually, I'll save that till we're. I'll save this till we hit the end of the movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So at this point, all the other kids are going around. There are little like short scenes of each of them gathering up a Kuramon, and they're all very cute and funny, but. You know,
like this little baby, fucking like toddler who found the Kuramon and is like, "Give me! I know you can't have it."
That's actually a representation of me.
God,
Leon, I'm taking your fucking Kuramon.
No! And then Chibimon pops out and is like, "That's no fair! You have one."
Yeah,
I would like, also be like, "No, fuck you! What do you mean you get one?"
I think it's funny.
Mine is
Leon.
Like leaking IP addresses.
I think it's funny, Leon, that you said it's a representation of you, considering you weren't even fucking born when this movie came out.
Stop being such a fucking baby, Leon.
Grow up!
I don't know what you want from me. You want to change when I was born?
Yeah. If I could.
Work on it.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Improve yourself, for God's sake.
What? There's something wrong with y'all.
There's a part on the train where Daisuke and Ken encounter like a mob of Kuramon because everyone gets an email at the same time. And there's a small scuffle that happens off screen, but they had orders to not attack them because it would probably cause the Kuramon to start evolving. But they don't, despite the fact that Vimon does attack several of them. And Koshiro's like, that's weird.
They should be eager to evolve or whatever.
Yeah, they're like, why aren't they evolving when you attack them? That's strange.
I love also V was like, I'm sorry, Dice.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Because he also evolves off screen too, right?
It cuts to the train stopping and he's dragging Vmon out of the train.
He's like, why'd you have to digivolve? Idiot.
You dumbass, you fucking moron. Meanwhile, both of them have, like, a bundle of Kuramon just, like, in their arms.
I think my favorite part is, like, none of the Kuramon ever fight back. They're just kind of like, yeah, we'll sit here.
They're vibing.
Some of them run around a bit.
One of them pretends to be a soccer ball. And, like, I love that one specifically, because it's, like, causing a mess at, like, a soccer practice. And then we cut to Takeru and Iori, who are just kind of, like, in the stands being like, so, like, are we going to... We're just gonna.
And then there's a little. And then there's a lady over the speaker that's like, "Please don't let your pets out onto the field."
Yeah.
No, I think they didn't even realize it was a Kuramon.
And then fucking Patamon's like, "Digimon aren't pets.
We're not pets. We're people too. We should have rights."
People too.
I think Yori's like, "Wait a minute, that's not a ball."
My God. So,
it may not be a ball, but boy, does it sure look kickable.
That's your son. How do you say that? How could you say that about him?
Those Kuramon are not my son. My son is not related to this movie.
Oh, are you saying your Kuramon's not like the others? It's one of the good ones?
I mean, the words came out of your mouth, not mine.
But that judgment will be passed when it is, you know, appropriate.
Huh?
Don't worry.
I really like these, like, simp I forget if our war game had these. I like these like simplified versions of everyone's faces for their email profiles.
Yeah, yeah, they're really cute.
Yeah, they're clearly based on the our war game like email profiles.
Because maybe I'm misremembering that they just have like their actual faces for our war game, or did they do this?
They did this. The did only they... one that is a normal profile shot. In
oh
fact,
right.
Is Willis. Who was edited in from this for the Digimon movie?
I forgot about that.
It's in the email where he warns Izzy about the nuclear missiles heading towards Japan.
Leon, I am
we'll get into that later.
I'm so fucking excited to have you watch that movie for the first time with all of us in call. Oh. It's gonna be so good.
Oh no!
Oh, so exciting. Yeah, so they're, you know, they're just doing their thing. Taichi and Yamato have gone to the internet, and they just kind of got Dai into fucking Omegamon. There's no sequence for this. They just do it.
They, like, turn it. They just warp Digivolve into, like, just the heads.
Yeah.
And it's so cool.
I mean, it's cool. I'm just like, they really didn't even give him an Evo sequence, huh? My God.
Taichi and Yamato are just riding on the head.
Yeah. So they Omegamon, you know, approaches. They find Diaboromon just in its little like cocoon, thing. And there's like 100 billion million Kuromon just like all around it, and it is preventing them from being able to like hit it. Like they keep throwing themselves in the way.
Also, I'm not insane, right? For like the bit where Omegamon's attacking here, they are just reusing
cuts
from our war game.
Yes, they are. Specifically, like. The cut of him, like...
pulling out the sword, the gun.
Those are all, and even the sword slash, those are all reused cuts of animation. However, I don't mind that, because the sequence we get later with Omegamon is so fucking cool.
Yeah, I didn't mean all of everything with Omegamon, just this part specifically.
I did realize that as well. Oh, God. So, I think... at some point, someone screams, because, like, they, like, the Omegamon fight is being broadcast to, like, the world, and, like, one of the people watching screams, like, do a better attack!
Yeah, they're all better attacks.
Like, fucking do something.
Come on.
Daisuke and Ken decide that they're gonna go ahead and help anyway, even though they were told to stay in the real world, so they have Miyako actually do something for a change, because she is supposed to be the techie of the new group. So they're just like, oh yeah, Miyako, do the thing you were probably supposed to be doing throughout the entire show, and be a computer whiz.
Okay, I'll open the door.
Open the door, and then she opens many doors. Many, many doors.
Just, I think Hawk goes like, I don't think you're supposed to, I think you only needed one.
She gets a little carried away. And then we get what is, in my opinion, the coolest sequence in the entire movie, which is Takaru and Hikari show up to help with Anjuman and Anjuman. And Diaboromon has, like, created a, like, multi-layered barrier of the Kuromon. And they fly forward and through it to, like, break through them all, and then tackle Diaboromon, and are, like, holding him in place, yeah, they're like, fucking do it!
Get him! Kill him now!
So, Omegamon rushes forward and does one of the sickest combos ever, where Hikari screams for Taichi, and Omegamon stabs Diaboromon through the face, and then Takaru calls for Yamato, and... Omegamon shoves the cannon into his stomach and does a point-blank supreme cannon. Fucking awesome.
Well, that's it. Movie's over.
Yeah, they got him. That's it. Roll credits.
Yep.
But no, unfortunately, the million billion Kuromon all just kind of start escaping through the many, many exits Miyako opened and then blocking them off afterward. Oops. Ah, et doble.
Oops. And then it's like, oh, they weren't after Taichi. It's like, oh, Diaboromon wasn't after Taichi Yamato the whole time.
It was a trap. Oh, no. And so they all start escaping to the real world.
He just wanted an exit.
Yes. Yeah, they all start escaping to the real world. I believe Daisuke is the one that does this, but he probably tells Miyako to do it, where they broadcast a message that just says, to the Kuramon, we'll be waiting at Tokyo Bay from the Chosen Children.
I think he just says, like, oh, we need to round them up, or something like that.
But, like, yeah, there's, like, a message that's displayed on, like, multiple screens, and all the Kuramon start, you know, congregating toward Tokyo Bay.
And they steal Wormon and Vmon.
Yep. those two get stolen away, which is unfortunate, because now they can't use Imperial Dramon to get to the lake, or Tokyo Bay quickly. So they start hoofing it. And it is not going well. As it turns out, running that distance on a time crunch for 11-year-olds is kind of hard.
Yep.
Although, in this bit, my favorite line in the entire movie happens, which is where Ken, Daisuke is getting really tired. He's like, "Oh man, I can't do this anymore." And Ken says, "You know, you'll never steal the ball from me if you're like that."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, yay, throwback to the soccer bit.
Yay!
Like, oh yeah, these guys were soccer rivals at one point. The show kind of forgot that.
Yeah.
Many things happened again.
I think soccer became the smallest of his priorities at a certain point, yeah.
I mean, you gotta have hobbies.
Yeah, his hobby was
hobbies is his friends.
He's getting used to having those. Sorry, it's like a million degrees in my room right now, and I'm like trying to not die. It'd be a problem. At some point, Daisuke runs face first into a bus stop sign. That was funny.
I've done this before.
No, you haven't.
I have walked into poles before, yes.
Yeah,
I have.
But like, did you hear the fucking sounds?
Yeah.
Daisuke? It was fucking, like, I think his skull might have fractured there. Like, not that he'd notice any difference, but, like, you know, like, I don't know, yeah. Worth looking into.
Yeah, no, like, it might have been one of those injuries that, like, it's nothing at first, but then, like, 20 years down the line, he gets bopped on the head a little bit, and it just killed him, like, immediately, because of that.
His brain starts leaking out of his skull. Or whatever's there, I guess.
The tragic ending to the third sequel movie they're gonna announce in January. I have a couple notes that just say Mimi is here, yay, because at some point she shows up and starts talking to Kojiro.
It's like, Kojiro's like, Mimi, this is the time, Mimi.
Now it's like, we really gotta focus on the world-ending threat that is currently happening.
It's like, oh, yeah, by the way, there's like, the Tokyo Bay River is now just filled with Kuramon.
Mm-hmm. They've just all kind of arrived and are floating in the water, having a good time. Until they all begin, like, amassing into a large, just ball, which turns into a big old fucking egg.
Shoutouts to cheese.
At this point, like, this whole part has been cutting back and forth between, you know, Daisuke and Ken just running. And the egg then hatches, with everyone, like, surrounding the bay watching it. And I was reminded watching this movie, God, Armageddon is fucking creepy. What a creepy fucking design. And just the way it moves and the way it looks, it's awesome. I think it was very clearly supposed to be, like, a facehugger.
Yeah.
Probably inspired by that, yeah.
Yeah.
Cause, like, finding a fucking face big enough to hug with that thing, though, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's fucking enormous.
Grace Novamon, maybe? That might be too big.
Yeah, it's maybe going a little too far. But I also like, as a little TCG aside, like, in the TCG, Armageddon has, like, I don't know if the 17 one does it, I assume it does, but, like, at least the old one was, like, you can delete the Dear Bormon token to just play it. And I like that that's kind of a reference to how in this movie, like, he doesn't necessarily evolve off of a Diaboramon. He just kind of pops out of all the data.
Similar effect. The 17 one is you shuffle unidentified cards back from your trash back into the deck. It reduces play cost.
Okay.
That's actually almost a little more referential to this effect because it's, like, multiple things, but let him just drop.
just amassing themselves into the Armageddon
fucking guy.
Which is very funny because they don't actually name it in the movie itself. When did they name Armageddon, actually?
I mean, it probably has this name, it's just never said in the movie.
Oh, probably okay. Just a reference book, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fair
like,
enough.
Like, do they, like, they, I don't think they ever said, like, Antilomon or Cherubimon in the movie.
That's fair, yeah.
It's always just, like, Coco, it's always just Chocomon.
Did they even do Gargamon in the movie?
I don't think they did.
Jesus.
I don't think they did in Wendigomon either.
Oh, yeah, no, they didn't.
It's called Chocomon and Gummimon.
Fucked up. So Daisuke and Ken are busy dying, attempting to run all the way to Tokyo Bay, and Joe shows up with a bike. At which point,
this is like one of my favorite bits of the movie.
Yeah. At which point, Daisuke gently reminds Joe, "We're two people."
Ah,
I see.
At which point, a girl just cycles past on her bike, and he just starts screaming at her,
"I need your bike!
Your bike!"
And the subs I watched translated it as, "We're two men."
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Which was,
we're two boys.
A very interesting way to phrase that, Daisuke.
You can't do that.
That's illegal. So, we get a very, very cool sequence of Omegamon fighting Armageddonmon. That's real, that, like, it's just a cool sequence.
Yeah, he's like diving all over the place, doing, like, cool shots.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then, of course, he gets fucking obliterated and has basically just gotten owned super hard. I believe at this, his arms just fall off at this point, right?
There's a bit where, like, he tries to stab him in the yeah. head, and he's, like, stuck there. And then Armageddon just blasts him point blank, and it, like, rips both his arms off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just kind of, like, standing in the water. Both his arms are gone, and then his eyes kind of go away. And Taichi and Yamato are just like, oh no.
We might need some backup.
I'm sorry. You probably said it. I had to zone out for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking shots of Omegamon during this fight are so, so cool.
Yes.
Like, he doesn't get a lot in this movie, obviously, and, like, you know, most of the internet fight is just reused or board game animation.
Mm-hmm.
But the few shots they, like, do of him, of, like, the way he moves, the fucking barrage of, like, cannon blasts and Armageddon's, oh, it's such a cool yeah. sequence of shots.
The fights against, both of the fights against Armageddon look so good. They are, ooh, they are good looking. At this point, Daisuke and Ken finally arrive on the scene to see the shitstorm that has, you know, kind of wound up happening. And they start calling out for Vemon and Wormmon. And, like, at first they can't find them. But then, like, the entire crowd kind of, like, splits apart for them, and it fucking rules.
There's also a thing where, like, the only people seemingly who can even see, like, all the stuff going on is, like, or, like, children, which I yeah. guess is kind of meant to fit a little more into the whole next generation kind of theme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are several adults that are just kind of ignoring what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we get the, obviously, Target starts playing, which is awesome. And we get Imperial Dramon, and there's a really fucking awesome sequence of Dragon Mode versus Armageddon, where it like, swoops in, and it has, like, the rapid-fire Gatling blasts and shit.
There's, like, a cool bit where flies over Tai Chi's head. I think that's when, like, Sora shows up to, like, cheer up her him and Yamato.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something. I think I made a note about it where I'm just like, man, there's some weird Tai Chi Sora Yamato stuff in this movie.
Yeah, they're it kind of like almost implying the Fruffle here.
It's yeah, really
funny.
Like, wait, shit, we don't want to commit to Yamato too hard. You know what? Fucking, it's not just the dubs guilty of this. Fuck this.
Yeah,
it's a pun. Now
I do
it's
you know
it's really funny. I assume that the final episode wasn't made, but I like the idea of them going, well, we don't want to commit to that too hard, and then the epilogue comes out and they're like, man, are you fucking kidding me?
God damn it.
So, never mind.
So what I will admit, in a little bit of contrast to our war game, something I appreciate is that like even if it's not much, all the other 01 kids get to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was very much like, I think, intentional that in our war game there was this sort of melancholy about how seemingly unable, like, already the adventure kids were to meet back up. So it's, but it's still like a nice, like, I don't know, kind of hopeful contrast. But like, even, you know, if it doesn't always work out, even if, like, you know, obviously, like, several of them run into issues doing it, they can still, by the end of it, all get, like, get together and help in their own ways. Except Mimi, I don't really know what the fuck she really, like, accomplished here, but
she was there to for me. She was there for me.
It was supporting Koshiro.
Yeah. I would not be surprised if the events of our war game kind of made all of them realize, oh, we can't, like, just go and live our lives. Like, we need to be able to stay in contact.
Like it isn't over.
Yeah.
Kind of deal.
Like, shit can still happen. Like, we should probably... Like,
it didn't just end when we beat Apocalymon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even in Venture 02, they're much more, like, able to quickly gather together than they were before. Nice little
when
touch.
Also, really
gates.
Funny. Also, also, I was thinking about it. It's really funny that Mimi, like, took a plane when it's, like, I feel like if you take, like, you quite literally can just take a shortcut for the digital world, right? Like, that's, like, 10 minutes of travel.
No,
yeah.
Maybe
probably with
probably
her family. Probably with her family.
Yeah.
You know how it is sometimes.
She wanted to take the plane.
Yeah. She wanted to have a nice flight.
Flights aren't nice.
That's fancy.
Well, I didn't even have enough, though.
Did you see how close those seats were together? That bitch was fucking flying, like, economy.
He was flying economy for fun.
Yeah.
There's nothing fun about flying fucking economy. You ever been on, like, an 8-hour economy flight? It fucking blows ass.
If all you're taking is first class, maybe economy's a little bit interesting sometimes.
Oh my god. Anyway. So, Imperial starts getting wrecked. A blast hits it, transitions into fighter mode, which is kind of cool. And then, you know, again, we're having, like, it, you know, he fires fucking Gigadeath, and it creates a massive fucking explosion. And, Armageddon just kind of no-sells it. At which point...
When you're a super ultimate bottom text.
So, fighter mode is also, like, basically in tatters. Like, the cape wings are, like, shredded and shit. And at this point, it's just kind of like a, we can't give up type of thing that causes Agumon and Gabumon to kind of, like...
to come back to life.
Yeah. They come back to life, de-digivolve, but the
Agumon body, like, yeah, transforms
into a big old fucking sword. And once Imperial Dramon grabs it, we get fucking Paladin mode, who is cool as hell.
I'm holding up my brand new Paladin mode cards. I like Paladin. I think Paladin mode is, like, probably my favorite form of Imperial Dramon.
Yeah, no, he's really fucking cool.
I love the you know, the shift from, like, you know, the dark colors and, like, the sort of bad devilish wings to, like, the angel wings. I also just really like Imperial Dramon's, like, shades of, like, blue and yellow with the white color.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a very, very good color scheme for a Digimon.
Yeah.
So, Paladin mode pretty much just, you know, just one-shots
big
Armageddon. Yeah.
I will say the way that he, like, holds the sword as he's flying towards it to, like, stab it with, like, it looks kind of, the way he holds it looks very funny to me.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, this doesn't look quite right. Then he stabs him in the head and he starts leaking Kuramon everywhere.
I'm always doing this.
I'm not even going to question that one.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to.
That's healthy.
Listen, sometimes you get stabbed with a sword and a bunch of little guys come out of your head.
You know what? Sure. So all the Kuramon are, you know, kind of just floating in the air, and they realize, oh god, he's gonna get away again, we gotta do something. So I forget who it is suggests it. I think it's either Koshiro or Iori? One of them suggests...
Yeah, I think Yori's like, wait a minute, that's right, the fucking emails.
Yeah. So it's like, everyone point your phones at the sword. And so we get a bunch of, you know, beams of light going into the sword, which allows Paladin Mode to just kind of evaporate all the Kuramon.
They really try to make this like some sort of like full circle for our adventure as a whole, because they hear like the whistle from the the short film,
harmonica.
Oh yeah, the harmonica from Yamato. All the beeps that the phones make play Butterfly.
Yeah, I wasn't when the whistle and harmonica, like with the whistle, I was like, okay, sure. And then the harmonica came up, and I was like, what?
Yeah,
it did. It does, like, that's what I was more thinking of, especially with this. And then, well, you know, there's the credits. It really does come off like they were really wanted to like bookend this like little like continuity they had, because obviously like there's like references and stuff.
Yeah,
to, like them, but what was it? But like this, like all the until at least until Cross Wars. Like everything else basically exists in its own bubble.
Yeah.
Again, I think more than anything, like it is this, I guess you could almost imply it like, you know, the next generation thing isn't even necessarily in reference to O2, but just like sort of a hint that like, okay, like literally after this movie, like things are going to be very different from now on, and you're going to have to like,
yeah,
like learn to just take that.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Omegamon like giving his powers to the Imperial one is a very like passing of the torch kind of moment where it's like, oh okay, like, you know, like the old sort of comforting days of adventure, like even including Zero, like Zero Two's place in this is kind of weird, but I get the general idea of like the old comforting days of adventure are like coming to an end. We're moving to a new stage of this franchise, and that's just like life.
Mm-hmm.
And you're gonna have to learn to deal with that now. Now don't worry about the part where our schedule for the next like several months is still them just repeatedly going back to the adventure continuity after this.
Yeah, no,
don't worry about that, but
this was supposed to be the end of it, unfortunately. Bandai,
the nostalgia books are too tasty.
Yeah, unfortunately Bandai really likes money, and the majority of the content we're going to be covering is fucking gutter trash, but hey, some of it's good. Two pieces of it are good.
Two bits of it are good, I guess. Yeah,
and we're not doing
I guess I'll save it until I actually get to the end.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that is like the end of the movie. Like the Kermons are deleted, and then the movie ends.
The credit sequence plays.
Yeah, the credit sequence is a really gay Daisuke Ken pick in there, and then
I will say they do another Ruffle pick there. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, I got weird thing for them to do.
I will say like this isn't like a great movie, right? Like there's not that much going on in it. It's not that interesting. It's cool. It's fun. I at least find this like a much cleaner and nicer cap off to Zero Two than the show's ending. So
yes,
like I feel like I can appreciate it for that.
Mm. Yeah. I came out of this movie thinking that was neat.
Yeah, like fine. Definitely a step down from what we have been covering before in terms of movies, but like, you know, it looks nice, it's cute, it's fun. Got like a neat message.
Yeah.
I like that shot at the end of everyone on the train.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, that was cool. I like the shot of Imperial Dragon Palma that's on the screen right now. That's the part of this fuck-ass card I have to play now. Cool shot.
All right. Shin Dub Zone.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. This is the last one, gang. Well,
so, this Dub Zone was not going to happen. However, the copy of the movie I grabbed had both the English and Japanese audio, and it defaulted to English. Now, very funny thing about this movie specifically. In Japan, this movie came out in 2001, toward the end of the year. I believe it was, at the date pulled up right here. No, actually, beginning of the year. It was on March 3rd, 2001 is when this movie premiered. Do you guys know when this movie was dubbed? by Saban.
I know this was actually like part of when Disney took over Digimon for a bit, because it's like the same era where they took over Power Rangers, because they kind of just bought a bunch of Saban's rights at the time, I think. So I know that this was like a Disney era dub, which means it was like several years after this movie came out, right?
This movie was dubbed on August 5th, 2005.
Yeah, I was literally thinking 05, yeah.
Now, very interesting thing about the fact that this was dubbed in 05 is that the season of Digimon airing in 2005, at least the dub, was Frontiers. So imagine my shock when this video file starts playing and I'm hit with the opening to the English Digimon Frontiers theme.
Digimon
forever united as one.
I was just like, what the? Oh my god, this movie was dubbed when Frontiers was airing. Oh my god.
But I understand about this. I think Disney specifically handled the Frontier and Savers dubs.
I think those were the two
Disney handled. But like, you know, there was the Saban era of like original to Tamers. They did the fucking movie. But then after Tamers, like, you know, like, cause especially like, you know, these movies are 30 minutes long. There wasn't really much financial incentive for Saban to like license these and put them out. And then after like Tamers, they were just like, okay, well, the craze is over, and they just fucking dropped it like a hot fucking thing. I also think Saban was just like actually dying at the time, so you know, there was that too.
But not only did they dub this movie, over the course of the next 3 months, they dubbed all of them.
Yeah, because I was getting to that. Where when Disney took this over and they started doing like the Frontier dub, they were like, hey, there are these like unused, like there are these undubbed, because it was like this movie and the two Tamers ones.
Yes.
And they were like, hey, we got these, like we have the rights to these. We can like air these as like little TV movies as a, you know, a quick little nostalgia thing, I guess, you know, fill up our time slot a little bit. Mm-hmm. So that's how these dubs came to be. And then they've never, as far as I know, like these dubs have never received any home video release. I think people just had like recordings of these or like just actually the files somehow and resynchronized them to Japanese home video releases of these movies.
I believe that is the case, yes. Another fun fact, I saw this movie dubbed on TV. I very, very vividly remember seeing it. I believe it was airing as part of, like, a thing, along with one of the Pokemon movies, because I remember seeing Destiny Deoxys, like, the same night I saw this movie on a TV screen.
There was a time where, like, Disney had, like, the airing rights to both Pokemon and Digimon.
It was wild.
Weird.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
Yep. It was when I was still living in Florida. I would have been, what, like, 11 years old at the time? Like, like crazy. For, like, just, I was just like, oh my god, I've seen this dubbed. What the fuck? Yeah, so, like, just really bizarre little rabbit hole I went down because of accidentally hearing the first 2 seconds of this dubbed. So, like, I quickly scrubbed through the dub, and there's nothing crazy, because, again, this was done way later, so, like,
Disney's dubs were probably, I think, the, like, besides the 2020 dub, unfortunately, the most, like, solid dubs Digimon had received. As far as I know, especially fucking Data Squad, or, you know, Savers, was really fucking faithful to the Japanese script to almost a fault.
Yeah, I do remember that.
That's how we get Lord Einmon, who was called Crusadermon in Frontier, is in Data Squad called Rodo Nightmon.
God.
Or Road Nightmon or something. Or no, it's Load Nightmon. That
Load
was it.
Nightmon, yeah. What a fucking weird god.
Yeah.
Not to give
it can't be a lord. That's obviously not a guy.
Yeah, to give them some credit, at least like a lodestone is a thing, so maybe they were thinking something along those lines.
Yeah, but it's like loading, like load.
Yeah. Oh,
yep. Yeah, it's pronounced. Yeah, it's spelled load.
Oh, never mind.
But yeah, I assume this movie, like Disney was fine when it came to dubbing this shit. So I assume, but like this movie, fine. The thing I have to wonder, especially because it was like so many years later. At least, like, sound-wise, how many of the original guys did they actually get back for A's?
So, I was literally about to talk about that. I believe the only one they couldn't get was Ty.
Really?
I immediately noticed. Oh, God, I had his fucking thing pulled up. Where
that's really funny, because nowadays, the original voice actor for Tai Chi is, like, the only one who keeps coming back.
Yep. Yeah, the original voice actor being Joshua Seth, correct?
Yeah, Joshua Seth.
In only this movie, he was voiced by Jason Spizak. It's Spizak or Spizak? I'm not really sure how to pronounce it. Spisak. The only time he's ever voiced IG. Specifically this movie. Really bizarre, because like it's really obvious. Like, he's kind of trying to do a Thai voice, but not. It's very, very noticeable. So, like, he's the only one I looked up, because he was the only one that was really obvious. There may have been other people that were recast. I just didn't notice, because they were doing too good of an impression. But at the very least, like, Davis and Ken were definitely still, like, the usual.
That is fascinating, because the dub for this movie is, like, 4 years later.
Oh, yeah.
Basically.
Really bizarre. It's just, like, this dub is such a fascinating little... This, I guess the Tamers dubs, too, because those were... 2 years after that show aired? 3 years even?
Yeah. 2 to 3, yeah.
It's very funny, because, like, they were clearly doing these as, like, an event type of thing, because it was one a month, and then the Frontier movie premiered 2 weeks after the Tamers movie.
Oh, they were probably trying to, like, hype up the Frontier movie, because Frontier was actually, like, their thing that was airing, so they were like,
yep.
I don't know, Digimon movie marathon kind of, or movie month sort of deal.
God. Imagine if all the dub zones could be this interesting. Unfortunately, they're not, which is why I'm stopping after this one.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the first dub zone in, like, the entirety of 02 I had something to say about.
Yeah. That's because it had nothing to do with the dub itself, and more just, like, the weird kind of history behind the dub, which is, you know, something people who aren't me can talk about, because you don't have to watch it to know.
Just call it the history zone.
No. God, no.
No.
The only other note I wrote down is that they refer to Omnimon as a DNA digivolve in this movie. They
mostly talked about how it wasn't one.
Yeah, they call it a warp DNA digivolve.
Liar.
See, that's the funny thing. That is a thing. That's not Omnimon, though.
Yeah. Fucking Christ. Anyway, that'll wrap up the movie discussion, which means we're going to move straight into questions, because, you know, we are unfortunately on a small time limit right now, but that's fine. Okay. So, the first question comes from Vidross. Given the infamous production troubles of O2, which is something I believe we will talk about a little bit in the wrap-up section, do you think a remake with a more focused vision might help it? So, yes, I do think a reboot-style thing for O2 would overall be a better product. However, don't you fucking do that. I'll kill you.
Yeah.
I have a very fundamental problem with the idea of that.
Yeah.
Where it's like, if they were to do this in the current context of where we are at, because, like, fundamentally, like, just like if they were just to take 02, the sequel to the 1999 adventure.
Yeah.
And, like, redo it. Sure. That's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like if we were just to talk purely on those speculative terms, yes. But we already have, like, movies and sequels and shit that work off of just what happens in O2 as is. And if they were to do an O2 reboot, it would not, like, exist in the context of a sequel to Adventure 1999.
Yeah.
It would exist in the context of as a sequel to Adventure 2020, which is just, like, completely different. So you're making a different show at that point.
Yep. And while I do think it would probably work out overall better, I don't want that.
Yeah. So, like, on a, like, purely, like, in a bubble case, sure, but, like, given where Digimon's at now and where adventure stuff's at now, probably not.
I just don't think it's necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also just like would just like them to do new stuff instead.
It's been 20 years. We can move on.
Yeah.
Give us the third movie, though. January announcement, please.
Give us sooner than January, for the love of God.
Well, no, they've announced
the thing for January.
Yeah.
It was like the thing where they remade like a bunch of adventure scenes, and it's like they're announcing a big thing for January. It's like, oh, that's probably the third movie.
Yeah, it's almost certain.
Hopefully gonna close out all this adventure stuff.
Yeah, please, for the love of God, let it end.
I'm tired.
We watched the third movie and it ends on a fucking cliffhanger.
I swear to God, like besides like doing stuff for Liberator, the only Digimon shit I have been engaging with for like an entire year is Digimon Adventure. I'm so fucking tired, dude.
And it's just a couple more months of it, and then we can get to team. I'm so sorry.
Man.
All right. Our second question comes from Mega Manga Man, who asks, since we know we're getting an adventure-related announcement in January, if it is a new movie or hell, even a new series, what are your expectations and or hopes for it? So I guess we kind of already answered this with what we just said, but a third movie that completely wraps up the adventure shit, be done with it, we're done, it's over, please. If it is anything that isn't that, it will be a bad announcement. There is nothing they could possibly announce adventure-related that is a good thing that is not that third and final movie.
And it also has to be like, I don't need more movies after this. Like, we've done the adventure movie, we've done the O2 movie. There's clearly a bunch of setup to resolve some sort of thematic thing. Might involve Yggdrasil, might not. Probably will include, like, you know, Agumon and Gabumon coming back or something. Might even have, like, a redone part of the, like, a redone version of the epilogue from 0-2 or something. But, like, that's fine. Because I like those movies and I like what they set up and I'd like to see the payoff to it. But that's all I want to see. I like, this franchise needs to desperately fucking move on.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that's, like, the, other than, like, the third movie, is, like, a new anime series that's not even, like, remotely related to adventure.
Well, that's the problem, is that they said it was going to be adventure-related, so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's like, that's the only thing I would want. Like, again, even if it's the third movie, it's like, oh, we're going to set up for more movies. Like, nope, fuck off. Don't want that.
Nope. No. I remember when you guys did 6 movies and they were terrible. So how about we just...
They're air quotes movies.
Yeah, it's fair enough.
I hope it is something cool. Smile.
And our third question will actually just kind of lead us into the discussion of the series as a whole. So, you know, may as well just do this one. From Anime PDX, who's your favorite arc boss and villain from either Adventure or O2? So, like...
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, like, for me personally, my favorite, like, arc boss is... It's gonna be Vamdemon, like...
Really? I fucking hated that guy.
I mean, yeah, I hated him, but I was like an arc boss.
I don't... Like, you have, like, 3 options here, basically, and they're exactly...
The Chimera-mon.
Both shows.
For both shows?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
From either Adventure, yeah.
Okay, which... so we're cutting bosses, so we're not cutting, like, Oikawa or Ken, right? Like, that doesn't...
I mean, they're...
Because there's, like, a separate... Okay, wait. Are arc boss and villain asked separately, or, like, as one thing?
Arc boss slash villain, so either or.
Okay. Ken? Or Digimon Kaiser, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, all things considered, it's probably going to be Ken for me as well.
Like, as messy as I felt the arc itself was, like, Digimon Kaiser is, like, one thing I'll always give 0-2, at least, like, conceptually, is that Digimon Kaiser and Oikawa as villains are so much more interesting than really any of the adventure villains. Like, his arc's kind of a mess, but Digimon Kaiser, there was a lot behind why he turned out like that, and, like, you know, it was a really good lead in into a lot of the Ken stuff later, versus like, yeah, Vamdemon is like a very charismatic villain, but at the same time he's just kind of evil vampire.
Yeah, like, yeah, the closest you get to anything like that from 0-1 is pup is Pinocchio-mon, and they just kind of just forget about that right up until he right before he dies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So between like all of them, like again, messy as it is, Digimon Kaiser pretty easily.
Yeah.
I think. It's also like compelling to have specifically like just a normal ass human as a villain.
A human who like was also a chosen child, but like through circumstance and like his own interpretation took it completely the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I say Black or Greymon?
I don't know if he's considered an arc boss. He was just kind of a present boss throughout the series.
I guess you can be loose with your definition of an arc and count him, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a mini arc boss.
I'll say Black or Greymon then.
That's fair.
Okay.
Because if I don't, I'm just saying fucking... I would also be saying Kaiser. But I'll throw a bone to Edamon. Edamon's very funny.
You know what? Fair enough.
Honest to God, like, if he had more time, I would have probably even... I probably would have said Oikawa even over Kaiser. I really like a lot of the stuff that's like going on with Oikawa, but he just does not get the time to fully develop into much of anything.
Mm-hmm. If they had gone straight from like the kind of wrap up to the Holy Stones being broken into just Oikawa being the focus for like the last 15 episodes, it probably would have been fucking awesome.
Yep. We'll talk about that.
Yeah. Which, speaking of, all right, so we're going to move into just kind of like the wrap up for O2. It's going to be, like, very loosely formatted. I'll probably have us just, like, rather than it being, like, an open discussion, I'll probably just have us talk individually, and, like, if other people want to chime in about specifics, they can. But, like, just so we can all get, you know, what we want to say specifically out first, and then we can kind of talk later. We'll do that. So, like, I'm trying to remember how I formatted this last time, because it was a live stream.
You kind of
went
in a circle to talk about like favorite or least favorite this or that. But if you want to do it more freestyle, I guess you kind of like pick a starting point, go clockwise, counterclockwise, and they could just talk.
Does anyone want to start in particular?
I'd probably like to go last because I have too much to say.
Okay. Okay. I guess I will start then. So I guess like. I put it like in my media thread when I finished watching O2, like. I literally just said she's mid, but I like her, and that's pretty much the perfect summation of my thoughts on O2. I don't particularly like love this series. I don't hate it. It has so many fucking issues that arise mostly from production side things, because there was this whole thing, and like we know this now, where basically for the back half of this show, I think pretty much after Digimon Kaiser wrapped up, there was like 20 people in that fucking writer room, and they were just kind of throwing things at the wall and seeing what stuck.
There are also two directors who were just actually fighting it out over their vision getting in, which is why like it's very schizophrenically that second half just jumps between mini arc to mini arc, but don't always perfectly connect.
Mm-hmm.
There was also the issue of they brought in, you know, early on in, they brought in Chiaki J. Kanaka, who came in with a whole bunch of his own ideas for that show that were now just also things they had to go and deal with.
Mm-hmm. So they had a lot of too many cooks. Very much a situation of too many cooks. Just like, they had way too many people calling the shots, and it caused just this dissonance in every single like thing in the show. And while there were a ton of really cool individual ideas, they never really gelled in a way where I thought it was like, good.
Cohesive
is probably a better word there, but like I still did enjoy my time. Like episode to episode, I was still having a mostly good time, with the exception of a couple episodes that were just like, oh my god, this is like fucking nothing. And like, yeah, if I think about it more, I start liking it less, but it's not, you know, not really what I'm here to do. This show's 20 years old. I'm like not gonna get too...
I mean, effectively thinking about it more is, like, the entire ethos behind making a, like, episode-to-episode podcast about it, but...
Well, yeah, but also, like, I don't want to have this be an hour of us ranting and raving about every single thing that's wrong with the show. I think people already know what's wrong with the show.
Let me do that. You guys can just have fun.
So, like my like I'm pretty much gonna echo the sentiment I think everyone's going to, which is like my favorite arc was definitely, you know, the first arc, the Digimon Kaiser arc. It's really, really good. It has a solid foundation. They don't follow up on it well enough, but you know, what can you do? That's what happens when you have seven people talking about what they want to do with the fucking show. Ken is fantastic. He's easily my favorite character in the show. One of my favorite characters in the franchise as a whole. Like, you know.
Yeah, pretty easily.
Yeah, just like everything they do with him, basically start to finish, is perfect. I don't think there's really a misstep as far as the handling of Ken's character. At the very least for him, he was consistent throughout the whole thing, and they really, like, got it. As far as least favorites, if I have Miyako. Man. Girl, you deserve better.
Yeah.
Sora 2.0. Yeah. Sorry.
It. Yeah.
Women can't have shit in these shows.
Women can't have shit in these shows, dude. It's so rough. As much as I love Tamers, even Tamers is not going to be perfect about this.
Yeah, like... That, like, I don't really have too much to say about O2, because, like, it's just one of those things where it's, like, I don't know. I enjoyed it well enough. I have tons of issues with it, but, like, I don't know. I don't have the energy to talk about them. And Bridge is going to talk about them anyway, so, like...
Yay. Favorite Digimon, by the way, because that was another one we had,
Oh, yeah, favorite Digimon. Oh, God. What was my favorite Digimon from... You know, this is actually kind of a hard question. There's a lot of good stuff in O2 that I would just kind of jump to. I don't want to be a basic bitch, but it's probably Stingmon. I think I like Stingmon more than I do even, like, Pyoldermon and any of the Imperialdermon forms. I think Stingmon is just really, really fucking cool. Give him a full line, you assholes.
Oh, you think Stingmon's so cool, but yeah, you'd won't watch Kamen Rider Curious.
Oh my God, shut up! Shut the fuck up!
Curious and Curious.
Oh my God, someone else start talking.
Hi, Momo.
Hello.
Alright, Momo, what did you think about O2? Because I know you liked it. You're gonna be the most positive voice in this entire thing, so go for it.
Well, yeah, single me out. Yeah, no, obvious, in case it wasn't obvious, through the last, like, what is it, 10, 11 episodes?
Yeah.
I had a much better time with this than I think everyone else. I think I posted this on Twitter when I finished it at some point, like, just, I like, ideally, I really can't argue that it's better. Like, I can't really tell you it's just factually better. Then 0-1, I wouldn't do that anyway, but fucking I hate shit like that. Like, even, like, when the plot just starts to get, like, really messy and, like, just schizophrenic, there's just something about the dynamic of, like, the cast in this one that I think just hits me, like, a lot better. Like, I feel like they all just, like, I just think they all just play off each other a lot better than, like, the much larger cast of 0-1 did.
I think the way I would put it is, like, I think individually, like, I think, besides Ken, and even Daisuke compared to some of them, I think the individual characters of Adventure 1 are stronger, but there's a much better group vibe going on in 0-2.
And I think that goes a long way. I do feel like you could say the same for, like, I do feel like maybe you could also apply the same to the Digimon. Like, I feel like you get a lot more out of, like, Wormmon than you ever would, like, say, like, maybe Beomon or Gomamon.
Oh, don't remind me.
Yeah, a little bit. I actually think Gomamon's one of the better ones about it. I think he had one of the strongest, like, partner Digimon dynamics.
Like, but... okay, even, like, fucking say, like, Gabumon, where his whole thing is just, I'm loyal to Yamato and that's about it.
I think they do a much better job, I guess, at least for, like, specifically, like, Wormmon and, like, Beamon a little bit, of, like, kind of making the Digimon their own characters as opposed to just kind of being, like, almost like an accessory to the, their chosen child.
And then there's also Armadimon.
Yeah, Dagia.
I think by the end of this, I've made Armadillomon my favorite Digimon of this bunch.
I mean, you can't really, like, if the titles of our episodes have anything to say about it, like, Dagya is just too good.
He's just so adorable, and he sounds funny.
My favorite character? Armadillomon's vocal tic.
Yeah.
Can you tell we have autism?
Like,
I don't know, I just got ADHD.
Like, I guess I guess to try and cap this off without just saying, feeding myself over and over, it's just like, obviously, like, yeah, I think the Kaiser part's the best part of the show. But even, like, I don't know. I think even just when it's, like, multiple people fighting over each other, I still think they somehow manage to, like, connect it all in a way that just manages to work for me. And then the end of it's like, I don't know. It's hard to like really quantify, but just there's something about this show that just I end up liking it more.
Sometimes the vibes are all you need.
Yeah, I think it's totally valid. Like sometimes you just kind of vibe with like what a show does or is more than the other thing, even if you're like, yeah, obviously like this is worse in a couple of ways, but like I just like this more. I like what this goes for more. I think that's totally valid. I never mean to like diminish you or anyone else for liking things about this show when I get so critical about it. It's just kind of how I feel about it.
All right, Leon, you're up.
Wait.
What?
Momo hasn't given his favorite character. Well, I mean, he's given us his favorite, like, Digimon. What's your favorite character?
I mean, well, I do. Well, I clearly like Miyako way more than the rest of you, but I don't know if she's my favorite.
Nah.
I don't think we dislike her.
They just said they both just said they were her least favorite. They were their least favorite character.
Oh no, Miyako is not my least favorite character. That spot's reserved for someone else. I think they kind of fumbled her in a lot of ways, but like ultimately, like I do actually like her better than Sora, at least because I think her personality, like her baseline like personality, is more entertaining than fucking Sora, who was just kind of miserable throughout most of O1.
Oh, yeah, when I say Miyako is my least favorite character, I mean it purely in the sense of the fumbling of the bag. I don't think there's anything wrong with her at a core, just, man, they do not do her justice, and that made me so upset.
Right, well, I guess, like, if I had to pick an actual favorite character, it would probably once again be probably be Black or Greymon.
No, that's super that's valid. Fair. He's like, he was a consideration for mine.
Just like, you know, the whole thing, it's like, oh, he's a dark, it's like, oh, he's so fucking cool, but also just the whole thing of like, oh, the, you know, finding like a purpose, even though he's a thing that shouldn't exist and all that, and it's just, yeah.
It is one of the most direct, like, this, you know, because Digimon is a lot about technology, and like, AI has been like a subject of multiple of these shows. It's like, maybe the most direct AI gaining sentience plotline the show has done outside of like, Apmon? I don't know, I think it's neat. I think there's a lot of cool messaging about it. Not
if I had to pick, I guess if I had to pick a least favorite character, I would probably say Takeru.
That's so fair.
Like, I guess like me, like so, like Hikari's probably not far behind, but at least like for the most part, like when Hikari says something or does something, I'm like, yeah, that's the same character from the first show.
Yeah.
Like, but Takeru, it's like he has that thing where early on he's like the sort of like ex-veteran like mentoring the new guys, but and then like he just kind of loses that, and like his only real moments of standout as a character is when he just gets weirdly aggressive to like Kaiser or about Hikari, and it's just,
yeah,
he almost starts to come off like unpleasant at times.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I gotta say. I liked it.
I like it, smile.
Okay, now Leon can go.
Now I can go. Okay.
I hand you the bar.
I'm like the newest person here to Digimon, right? Or yes, is that a lot?
No, I've seen more of Digimon than I think anyone else here except maybe Bridget.
Okay. Because I don't remember when I watched O2. But like I watched O2 very quickly after I initially. Are you? It's fucking dog.
It's fine. It's not coming through. Go.
I watched O2 very quickly after watching O.
Right as you get the fucking bar, holy shit, this is so funny.
As soon as I get the fucking speaking stick, this dog is like, hey.
You should keep this a lot. It's funny.
I'll keep the fucking phone notification too. Why not?
There's not much I can do about that.
No, I'm sorry.
Phone silent.
Oh my god. All right. All right. Is everyone ready?
Yeah.
Talk, white boy.
Speak.
Huh?
Speak.
I'm scared.
Go.
Okay.
You are now allowed to continue talking about your experience with Digimon Adventure 02.
Okay, I will. Thanks. Anyways. What the? Hold on.
You're fucking kidding
me. Give
me a
second.
Leon, I gotta kill you, dog.
You don't gotta kill me, dog. You gotta kill dog.
This fucking
anyways.
Christ.
I'm obviously newer to, like, all of Digimon, but, so I watched 02 very shortly after watching 01, and generally I would say I enjoyed them. However, after going through the podcast, going through all of 02, and, like, looking at it through, like, a slightly more critical lens, I go, yeah, this has some problems, but I still think I like it. It's like, if you don't think about the problems, it's just an enjoyable show. That's really, like... I generally consider myself full of, like, whimsy about shows and such.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, that mostly stays true for 02, but then Bridget will go and point something out, and I'll go, oh my god, wait, yeah!
Sorry.
And it makes me mad, but, like, I still ultimately think I enjoy the show. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's the whimsy, but, you know.
Really, what I'm hearing is that if this podcast has a villain... Anyway, Bridget, would you like to give your thoughts on Digimon Adventure 02?
Leon hasn't given his favorite... We keep forgetting about this bit.
Leon, oh, yeah,
his,
right.
Like, favorite character, come Digimon, least favorite character.
Sorry, I didn't write anything down for this one because I'm just like, I'm tired.
Alright, so favorite Digimon. I know this one seems like I'm because it's like Toku reference or whatever. I really like Silphimon. Me specifically liking Silphimon is not because of Toku or Kamen Rider. When I went and saw the 02 movie in theater last year. I was like, man, Silphimon's really cool in this movie. That's, man, Silphimon's got a really cool design. And then I watched 02 for the podcast, and I was like, man, Silphimon's really cool. I just like Silphimon.
Top Gun. Their move is called Top Gun.
All right, what's your favorite character?
I like Daisuke. He's cool. He's got whimsy in him. I've got whimsy in me.
That's so like, true.
He's just content. He's content with what he's got.
Yeah, and he never gives up. And he's got a funny little blue friend as a friend.
All right, now name your least favorites. Who do you fucking despise?
Who do I despise? Like, I wanna say Takeru, but like, I also almost wanna say Hikari, but not because she's a bad character, just because of everything that happens to her with the Dark Ocean shit. I don't know. One of those two. Don't make me decide.
All right.
Oh.
All right, Bridget.
Well, here we are.
Go ahead. Get up on your little fucking soapbox.
Okay. So, I'm gonna...
Before you start, I like how I am, like, I'm saying all this as if I disagree with a single thing you are about to say, which is not true. I agree with literally every single point you're about to make. I just want that to be clear.
I think they just bother me a whole lot more than they bother, like, the rest of you.
I'm able to just kind of, like, brush stuff off to a certain extent.
Yeah, unfortunately, like, I don't know. There's something about that's wrong with me where if I ever complain about something, it starts bothering me. Maybe I do have autism. Maybe I do need to get checked for that. I'm going to preface this, first of all. I know, especially for people who might have been watching, who like this show, who want to see, like, who are excited to see people talk about this show. There's always, besides, one episode, I've been pretty consistently on. And especially after a certain point, it's just started becoming, mostly negativity from my end. And I don't like being like that, typically speaking. I like seeing the good in things. There's a lot of flawed pieces of media, but I try to, put a positive spin on. And I do kind of, sometimes listen back to myself in these podcasts and think that I might come off a little bit harsh or, unpleasant. And again, I do kind of apologize for that. I guess to start off, you can expect me to never be this mean towards a show again. Even shows that I dislike on a much more harsh level, ultimately, despite all the problems I have with this show, I dislike Frontiers more, I dislike Cross Wars more, and I dislike Adventure 2020 a whole lot more than this. My problems with those shows is a lot simpler. I don't like Frontier because I think its premise is contradictory to a Digimon and it has the worst Daisuke and Ken problem. I don't like Cross Wars that much because I just think it's kind of shallow and whatever and doesn't do a whole lot for me. I don't like Adventure 2020 because it's really shallow and doesn't do anything for me. Those are simple problems. They don't aggravate me that much. I'm just I don't think this works. I don't like this. Oh well, you know. The reason that I go so harsh on 02 specifically is because this show, frustrates me. I think if you go back to even our initial episode on 02, you can tell that immediately I'm finding these kind of fundamental problems with this thing standing as a sequel. And they kind of permeate throughout the entire show, and then there's other ways in which the production lead to a lot of that's a cool idea. Oh, that never gets followed up. Oh, that's a cool idea. Oh, that gets followed up with bad. And that piles on to me. I think a show that I can see the good in, that I can see what it could be, but then so clearly constantly undercuts itself in these ways that I look at and go, you didn't need to undercut yourself. There was no need to go this direction. There was a better way you could have done this. Just kind of annoys me on a different level than just a show I think is kind of just plain bad. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's really, I think, where this all comes from. There's a lot about the show, but conceptually or otherwise, I do like. I think, I like the idea. I even, despite how to go about this, I wish this handled being a sequel in a different way, because I do think, following up on a cast as convincingly human, I guess, is the Digimon Adventure cast in a later stage of their life, while also dealing with new people who have to come in and follow up on that legacy is interesting. But again, then they do a whole bunch of kind of contradictory bullshit that kind of just doesn't means this show ultimately works better would work better rather as a standalone than as a sequel. I really like certain, despite everything I say about the show, I think Ken is a top three character in this franchise. I really grew to like Blackboard Raymond. I'm a Daisuke stan. Daisuke's my boy. I love Daisuke. I like the Digimon in this one a lot. I think this show is actually one of the best Digimon lineups in the entire franchise. It's again just this thing where it's even in the Kaiser arc, there's just a bunch of episodes that I'm they either kind of break the tone, break the pace, don't add much to anything, and kind of distract from the things I find really interesting. It's just constantly kind of doing things I find aggravating and I think dilute what the show could have been really good at. for as much as I mentioned that I like the characters that I do like, and like I like the vibe overall, I think this is a very woefully underdeveloped cast with two characters that I think just flat out shouldn't fucking be here. But like I kind of could get past all of that. I think the part where this show did genuinely just kind of lose me and I started just to just outright not have a good time with it was like after the Black War Greymon arc, they introduce Oikawa, one of the most like fascinating, like genuinely contender for best villain of the franchise. Was he fully like paid off? And then we go waste time in the fucking world tour arc for like several episodes where just nothing relevant happens, when we could have spent the time building up our fucking villain, and then that's finally over and we launch into that piece of shit Daemon arc that also isn't relevant to anything and doesn't progress the plot at all. And then finally it's Oikawa's time to shine and the show literally has four episodes left. Like, the antagonist, and then he doesn't even get the full four episodes because then they were like, we don't have confidence in this, bring Bamdemon back. They liked that guy. He gets like he gets the last 2.5 episodes, basically. And it's just like, fuck, man. It's so fucking annoying. Because, like with a lot of Zero Two, it's just, there's so much that could have been done there, and it's just, they don't fucking do it. Yeah, I don't know. It's such, like, there's individual things, entire bits of the show even, that I can, like, isolate and go, I like that. That's fun. But just, I find that, like, the whole of the show is less than the sum of its parts, personally. And that kind of show just really deeply frustrates me. Well, I think, I don't know if you even feel like it, Lobby. You said you had, like, you wanted to go in on, like, World Tour arc as, like, least favorite arc of the show or something. You mentioned that to me in the call before.
Yeah, so, God, I don't, like, because overall, just, like, the more I think about it, the more I've just realized, like, I don't know, I don't have the energy in me to, like, really, like, tear something apart. And part of it is because it's currently, it's like, 95 degrees. Part of it is because we've been doing Adventure 02 for over half a year, and I just want to fucking move on. And yeah, part of it is just, like, I don't know, I just don't have the energy to be mean about stuff anymore. But yeah, like, World Tour is just bad. It's wasted three episodes. Nothing happens. It's not useful. The best part of it is the part in Mexico, but that's only because, like, Ken was involved, and clearly someone actually spoke Spanish. So they did a little more with it, and it had, like, nice comedic beats. But just, World Tour in general just sucks. Like, it's bad. It's such a waste of three episodes.
I think more than three.
No, it was three.
Like four.
Technically, it was four, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, it's bad. The World Tour is like easily just like, because there was a point where I was watching where like I would like, I, you can look at my notes for those chapters and or chapters and those episodes and just see how like fewer notes I have for those episodes than any of the other ones, because I'm just like, oh man, nothing's happening. Oh my God.
And normally, like, I don't mind an episodic plot, but I think it's the timing of that arc where it like, starts infuriating me about it.
It's like, I'm like struggling to remember like what happens immediately before it. It's the Black War Greymon stuff, right?
Yeah,
yeah. It's like
the Holy Stone stuff,
right? Yeah. So we get the wrap up to the Holy Stones, which is clearly leading into something with like Oikawa and like Arukenimon and Momimon. And then, like, the reason is because, you know, oh, Oikawa set up the Dark Towers to, you know, try it all over the world to try and, you know, do this and that. And it's like, okay, sure, you justified it. But also, we spend three episodes without the primary antagonists showing up at all. And it's so abrupt. It happens out of nowhere. The main plot is not moved along at all. There's not even character growth. Because, like, the character pairings we get are characters whose arcs with each other have been solved, Davis and Ken, or, like, characters who don't do anything, like Sora and Miyako.
Yeah.
The fucking double team of, whoops, the writers fucked these two women over. Like, just, oh then, my god, it's so frustrating.
Really don't think it helps, but right after that's done, they launch into the fucking Daemon arc.
Yeah, the mini arc where they were trying to do something with the Dark Ocean that they give up and it just ends the two episodes in. It's not even an arc. It's a two episode thing that happens that doesn't mean anything, which could have been cool because, oh, we got three factions now vying for these dark seeds. What are we going to do? Oh, Daemon's gone. Okay.
Oh, yeah. By the way, like, special category nominee, worst fucking thing ever, the Dark Ocean. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
What a fucking complete waste of space.
Awful. Just fucking terrible. It was a bad thing. The original concept for it is truly fucking vile and disgusting. Ugh. Ugh.
It fucks one of the primary characters over because of their, like, ties to that thing. Just wastes time that could have been spent on fucking anything more interesting. Doesn't even really get resolved. People still don't know what the fuck was up with the whole Daemon thing.
Yeah, that's just never followed up on. Daemon never shows up, yeah. And it does not matter.
Yeah, just fucking complete waste.
That's not totally true. Daemon does show up in Digimon Ghost Game right before the show is ending.
Not even the same Daemon. It's not the same Daemon.
Yeah.
Well, obviously not, but he shows up again.
Yeah, like, sort of like, sorry, like, I have a lot here. And sort of like springboarding from the Dark Ocean, just like, and this is sort of going into the sequel thing, just the way that they kind of had to pretzel, like the lore of Digimon Adventure doesn't really fucking matter because, like, the original show was also like written as it was just like going along, like they were making shit up as they went, but the ways in which they try to make things matter and try to like justify things from the that were stated in the original to now accommodate this sequel, it just doesn't work for me. It just just feels like I there were multiple episodes where I sat around and like listened to the show explain itself because the events just didn't line up otherwise. And then very minorly, but just like. Also, like, the whole throwing ideas around the fact that, like, we had both, like, the armors the first half, and then that was really very quickly discarded for the Jogresses and shit, and then the, like, especially the Shakumon Jogress shows up really late, and then it kind of doesn't matter because Imperial Jumon shows up, like, four episodes later. It's like, All just kind of a bunch of weird contradictory stuff they threw in the show, I think. Bills that really come out cohesively. So yeah, I guess just like that's kind of where I'm left. Just I like things about it, but I don't know if I could say I like this show as a like whole piece of media. Good movie though.
Yeah.
Good movie.
Both movies are really good.
Yeah.
All three movies, technically now.
Yeah. I guess, you know, to go for the list. Favorite character? Well, we all fucking picked one of my favorite. Like, there were three characters.
You can have repeats.
I know. Just like, there were three particular characters I looked at as, like, this could be one of the favorites. And you guys picked all three of them. And I'm not fucking just, like, lying for a fourth. So, now I gotta actually pick. You know, as much as I do, I was surprised by Blackboard Greymon. And as much as I do, like, Daisuke. Ken is just the best one. Like, it's not close. I'm sorry. It's just, he's just the best character in the show. He is, like, the one thing that, without reservation, I can say this show completely, like, succeeded at.
Yep. Anytime it was a Ken-focused episode, I was thoroughly enjoying myself.
Yeah, no, he absolutely is, like, the shining star of the show. Like, it's pretty obvious. Favorite arc? You know, there's not a whole lot to pick from, so yeah, Kaiser. There's a lot less, like, smaller arcs here the way that Adventure had them. So it's just like, okay, do I like the second half stuff or do I like Kaiser more? And yeah, no, Kaiser. Favorite Digimon.
Yeah.
So it is Vemon.
Okay.
It is absolutely Vemon. Constantly battles it out with Gilmon for my favorite protagonist rookie, or just rookie in general. I fucking love Vemon. There's a reason why when I got into the Digimon TCG, most of my early decks, even still one of my decks, was were all Vemon focused.
Mm-hmm.
Really love him. Just a funny little dude. I love his design. I love his classification as mini dragon. Very good. I will say, however, kind of like a good second place and like one that I wasn't expecting to like as much as I did. I used to not think too much about Pyildramon, but I really fucking like Pyildramon now.
He's got the guns. He's got the spikes.
Yeah.
He's got that cool. Got that sort of red. He's got that sort of Imperial Dramon head, but it's just all red.
In a way, like as much as I still think Imperial Dramon is really fucking cool, I kind of like Pyildramon more because it keeps more of the bug features of Stingmon / Wormmon. Whereas, like, Imperial Dramon himself kind of feels more like, oh, that's the Vemon Mega.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really get any of the Sting Wormmon stuff in that anymore. That's just kind of a Vemon Mega, I think.
Yeah, that's always been my issues with the Imperial Dramon part of the line specifically was, but where's Stingmon, though?
Second, like, really surprising second, Stingmon is really fucking cool. Or Stingmon. Well, I mean, Stingmon is Pyildramon. Dramon. I'm really tired. Least favorite character, Kakeru.
Yeah.
Just, man, you fucked that up. It's, like, obviously both him and Hikari shared a thing of, I think, ultimately having guys from Zero, from Adventure 01 there harmed more than it helped. But at least Hikari felt like she stayed true to what she was in Adventure. I was, when we watched Adventure, really shocked with how good Takeru was.
Yeah.
Especially the way, but like in the Dark Master Saga alone, like, he handled Pinocchiomon. He was basically the reason Paimon went down. And, like, throughout the entire show, what could have been very easily a very, like, annoying kid, like, oh, I'm mature enough to be my own person, but big bro kind of character, was, like, the really well done, like, child character with, like, you know, obviously a lot of the baggage about the divorce and stuff that's still there, and like the strained relationship with Yamato. None of that really applies to Takeru in 02 at all. He's just got nothing. Like, there's like the bit where he's kind of the de facto leader, but then that goes away. There's the bit where he has, like, the sort of rivalry with Daisuke, but then Ken shows up, so that entirely evaporates. There's the arc where they try to have a thing about his anger outbursts with, like, you know, the whole Jogress thing with Iori. But that also gets resolved really quickly and anticlimactically. And you're just kind of left with a nothing character. I can't really tell you his identifying traits. None of the ones from 01 really apply to him anymore. The only thing you have is, like Momo said, some of the outbursts, which just come off as unpleasant. And again, there's the whole bit where, like, there's several plot points in this show that should not have happened because of the cursory knowledge that he has. The fucking Village of Beginnings, dude, I swear to fucking God.
Yeah.
Like, I just think he is a overall detriment to have in this show on a lot of levels. And like it was to the point when we got to the finale and, like, he had this whole, like, vision about, like, you know, his family being together because of the divorce. I kind of had to look at that and go, like, oh yeah, that was like a thing for you at one point, right? Like, that was a thing that, like, kind of defined you for a bit. I kind of forgot. Whoops.
Yep.
I kind of forgot you were that kid for, like, genuinely sometimes I'm like, I forgot you are the kid from 01. Deadass.
Yeah, no, there were genuinely certain points throughout the show where I was just like, oh, that's right, this is supposed to be fucking Takeru.
Yeah, no, just, like, total fumble on that guy. That's it.
All right.
Sorry about that.
You're fine. The expected. So, I think with that, we have officially, completely, and utterly wrapped up our conversations about Digimon Adventure 02, and we will never, ever talk about it again.
A lot was coming off in terms of content for the show.
Yeah, what are we going to watch next again?
So, the next thing we're going to be doing, and I don't know if this is going to be a week out or 2 weeks out, it really depends on scheduling. We are going to be watching Digimon the Movie, the English dub Frankenstein's Monster of our war game and Hurricane Touchdown, because A, Leon's never seen it before, and B, it's going to be really fucking funny. That is going to be a live stream. We are all going to be in a call doing a Twitch stream, I guess on my channel, because it's fucking...
Yeah.
And
check it out.
Yeah, check it out. It'll be linked on my... Who cares?
You will know where it is.
Yeah. So what's going to be happening is we're going to be watching the movie, not on stream, obviously, because that is illegal, but we will be watching it in the background together, and you all will be encouraged to, like, there's going to be a countdown and everything, watch along with us, and we are going to live commentate over the movie.
Acquire it through various means. I doubt it's that hard to actually just... if you want to go legit, I doubt it's actually that hard to get a proper DVD copy these days.
No, not at all. You could probably just fucking... You could probably buy them.
Unfortunately, the Discotech Blu-ray will not be out yet by the time we do this. They're still working on that.
Damn shame. That's fine. That's not the real one. Well, I guess that has both versions on it.
It's going to have the original.
Try to get one of those funny, like, DVD for kids releases where it's in, like, some fucking bright little plastic thing with a handle.
Like, it's out of print, but it was so mass-produced, but you can still find copies for, like, less than $10, I'm pretty sure, so...
Yeah, it's real easy. And then after that, I believe we'll probably be taking a very short break, because, after the live stream event, the next piece of content is going to be rather difficult from a scheduling perspective, because I do want to do it week, like, bam, 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 because, dear fucking God, I do not want to spend more than 2 months on doing Try. We're doing all of Try. All six movies, in quotes. Hopefully 1 week after another, and as I mentioned before, hopefully with a guest, different guest, on every single episode. It will be very difficult to schedule. I'm not gonna lie, in all likelihood, it will not actually be six straight weeks in a row with a different guest on every single one, because can you fucking imagine trying to schedule that with online friend groups? It's not fucking happening, but I'm going to do my best. I will be prioritizing having the guests over it being week.
Yeah. Also, at some point that episode on those manga chapters will come out, so you'll understand what the fuck this Dynasmon's about that's been here for like 3 episodes.
Yeah, sorry. I haven't had the time to edit it. It's not even that long. I just have to do extra editing work because Bridget was on a shittier mic because there was a bunch of circumstances. So it takes some extra effort to do. Sorry. It'll be out eventually.
I just find it really funny that this Dynasmon's been here for multiple episodes and like no one has any idea what the fuck this is about.
Yeah, it's really awesome. And then when the fucking episode actually comes out, the intro is going to be about the last batch of O2 episodes, I think.
Yep.
Oops.
Oh, we really fumbled that one.
It's fine. It happens. But yeah. That's all for upcoming content. And then the show's over. We're not going to be doing anything after a Try, unfortunately. We're retiring.
I swear to God, if you made me end on fucking O2 and Try right before some of my favorite shit in this franchise, I would fucking murder you in your sleep.
No, of course not. I went over this in the 1 year anniversary video, etc. But after Try, we're doing Kizuna and Beginning, and then we will be going into fucking Tamers, finally, probably at this point, sometime late this year.
I need Tamers so bad, dude. Fuck.
Tamers is going to be a very enjoyable experience, because I think Tamers is probably going to be the most positive the entire call is going to be. Probably.
I mean, I've never seen Tamers. I've seen, like, the first two episodes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Leon, you'll be experiencing it for the first time. That'll be interesting.
And we get to do the thing we used to do with Angel, where we be like, hey, how do you feel about these as the first time watcher?
Yeah. That'll be cool. But yeah, like, Tamers is, you know, arguably the best season. So, it is very beloved in the fandom,
It is also our, like it'll also be extra nice for us, because it'll finally be our fucking break from the adventure continuity.
Yes, which we will be taking a break from for a while, because we're not going back until reboot, which is, like, 2 years down the line, probably more than
I guess, like, if the movie comes out, like...
Oh, yeah. That'll almost certainly come out before reboot.
The thing with the movie, though, is if they don't release it in Europe again, it's gonna be, like, a me and Lot, like...
Oh, God, it's gonna be the...
spoiler cast.
Yeah, we could probably grab someone for, like, a guest on that who has seen it, because I'm sure there will be someone else who watches it.
Probably Angel, right? Because Angel saw...
Probably. Angel did see the beginning in theaters. Anyway, we're getting off track. So let's end the video now.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you...
Next
in a
time.
Week or two, depending on how we're all feeling. Follow my personal Twitter to find out when that's going to be happening, because I will be the one announcing it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's been